This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
And you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime time with Isaac and Sue.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs. Them some thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh my goodness!
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanek with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It is Dad Vibes Wednesday. Ropp here, Suk on vacation. Mike Lynch hanging out with us.
You are?
I am. We are partying here. We are talking sports. The Mariners won today. They beat Mike's Yankees. Maybe that's why he has so much hate for Bo Nix. Look at that. 2 out of 3, Mariners over Yanks.
Yeah, I was impressed by Castillo today. He looked really good.
Dude, that guy, he's a dog.
Yeah, he's really good.
He's a dog. That was a good pickup. And Jared Kelnick hit a home run off of Garrett Cole.
Yep.
Wow.
I was texting John in the first inning of that game. And it was 4-0. And I went, we're getting this Cole, huh? Because Cole, every like 5 or 7 starts, has one inning where he just gives up every home run known to man for some reason. And he said something like, I hope we get good Castillo. And I was like, oh, don't worry. You'll score 3 more before this inning's over. And then Kelnick hit a 2-run homer. And I was like, yeah, I told you.
I'm looking at the Padres lineup. I just wanted to see what it looked like and who they're putting where. So they have Profar leading off, Juan Soto second, Manny Machado, Josh Bell, Jake Cronenworth, Brandon Drury. And then Tatis, they said, is going on a rehab. He'll be back. Throw him what?
Probably third.
Second or third?
Yeah.
God. Profar, Tatis, Soto, Machado, Bell, Cronenworth, Drury. Damn, dude.
That is a very, very solid middle of the lineup.
By the way, Mike.
Isaac.
Jeff Tedford is the coach at Fresno State.
Right after you went to break, my search finished, and I wish you had waited 5 more seconds so that I could have screamed into the microphone, it is Jeff Tedford somehow.
It is. He's back there.
What is going on?
What is happening? Who's winning? What's occurring? He was at Cal.
Everyone sing a song about popcorn.
He was... You know, Jeff Tedford, what a strange career arc. He did a really good job at Cal. As a matter of fact, I was just looking at Cal's, you know, year by year. Did you know that Cal went to 8 Rose Bowls before 1955, like in the old Pacific Coast Conference? Did you know that?
No, the only real old school Cal memory I have, and it's not that old school, is Marshawn Lynch and Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, geez.
Yeah,
not that old school.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like the 40s, man. Like they had a guy by the name. So they had Andy Smith took him to 2 Rose Bowls. The great Andy Smith. Nibs Price took him to a Rose Bowl. Freaking Stubb Allison took him to a Rose Bowl, followed by Pappy Waldorf.
Pappy Waldorf?
Yes, and then Pete Elliott. I love this. The old school Cal coaches don't get enough credit for all those Rose Bowls. Well, anyway, if you look at the modern history of Cal football, is Jeff Tedford and not a lot else. I had forgotten Steve Mariucci was there. He was there for a year.
What year was that?
96. God, do you remember that?
I don't remember that. No. Was that before the NFL for him? Must have been, right?
96. I think it would have been.
Or maybe in the middle.
He was a college guy.
Yeah.
So Keith Gilbert, my God, Keith Gilbertson, the old Washington coach. We're learning a lot here.
About Cal football.
Bruce Snyder. Now I remember him, although I remember him more from Arizona State. He was at Cal, followed by Keith Gilbertson, Steve Mariucci for a year, Tom Holmo, and then Jeff Tedford. And then, of course, we know from there, Sonny Dykes and Justin Wilcox.
How many years was Tedford there?
Tedford was there for 11 seasons, and he did really good.
How many winning years did he have?
All of them except for, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then his last, well, no, 2 of the last 3, he had losing seasons. Only 2 losing seasons.
Oh, that's very impressive.
And they were always in a bowl game. He was really good. And then,
especially at a place like Cal.
He takes 5 years off, comes back at Fresno, does a great job at Fresno, but then has one bad season, leaves, comes back to Fresno after 3 seasons. Jeff Tedford's career arc is fascinating.
So next up,
Fresno State.
Justin Wilcox will leave at in some way, shape, or form, and Jeff Tedford will return to Cal.
I mean, I guess they could do worse if he wanted that job. I don't know.
Well, it just makes sense, right?
Jeff Tedford. Remember those old Jeff Tedford, Mike Bellotti battles? Man.
Isn't there, I feel like there's another coach, and maybe it's just Tedford, but I'm thinking of it differently. Isn't there another coach that keeps going back to an original school over and over again?
In the Pac-12?
No, just Western college football.
I don't know who you'd be thinking of.
It might be Tedford.
Yeah, it's probably JT. And, you know, Joey Harrington,
our
friend.
Two coaches keep returning to the same school, and they're both named Jeff Tedford.
Tedford, you know, Joey swears by Tedford. He loves him. So he's one of the best coaches he ever had. I think Tedford was really one of those guys, and we did get to know Tedford a little bit from Pac-12 Media Day. And he had a little bit of a Chris Peterson feel to him in that he was one of those guys that didn't really like all the crap that came with being a head coach, you know? Some guys...
He just wanted football.
Yeah, he just wanted to coach football, and Fresno is probably better suited for him. Anyway, Vin Scully, the great Vin Scully, has passed at the age of 94. And we are going to play a few of his clips for you just to, you know, just to remind you of how great he was coming up next. So we'll get to that when we return. It is 412 on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
With Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Man, I'm having such a good time reflecting on 4 Pac-12 football coach hires. So a friend of mine texted me.
Did you say 4?
Yeah.
Pac-12 coaching hires?
Yeah, because we were talking about, well, I mean, we were talking about Tedford, but a Husky friend of mine said when Keith Gilbertson was announced as the coach at Washington, everybody collectively lost their S because he sucks so bad at Cal. I didn't know he was at Cal. I thought he was like an assistant at Washington. And then he went 1-11, and he also called their players midgets. Yikes. So that didn't work out too well. So if Keith Gilbertson, and I was racking my brain during the break, like if Keith Gilbertson and Paul Wolf and Buddy Tevens or Walt Harris, take your pick, and maybe Paul Hackett, we're in a fight, who would win? Or throw in Jerry Pettibone.
In a fight.
Yeah, throw in Jerry Pettibone. He was I mean, he wasn't very good, right?
Are you talking about physical?
I'm just kidding.
Or their football coaching ability winning the fight?
I'm just goofing around here, Mikey. I'm just having a little fun.
You're naming bad coaches, and that's always fun.
Isn't that fun on Dad Vibe Wednesday? All right, so Vin Scully has passed away. He was 94. Of course, Bill Russell was 88. I'll give you 88 right now. You taking that? 88?
Yes.
I think I am, too.
I think I am.
Yeah, that's a good long life
there. Yeah, I was saying this about Bill Russell on Sunday because the news broke when we were on the air. Is it makes you upset, but when you see the age, yeah, you kind of go, yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. So for Vin Scully, it was, oh, no. And then, oh, well, okay.
Yeah, the only thing better would be he, you know, and Bill Russell, they said this. They said he passed away peacefully with his wife by his side. The only thing better is if they say, like, this is what we all wish, right? We just die in our sleep, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a better ending than 88 dying in your sleep? Come on,
probably
man.
Not.
Let's
no.
go.
You don't know you're dying, and you just peacefully go away.
So
you stay sleeping.
Scully lived 6 years longer than Bill Russell, but it is amazing. We lost two true sports gentlemen and sports legends so close together. I mean, these two guys... I mean, what do you say? They're national treasures, both of them. So let's just refresh a little bit about Vin Scully. First, I'll play for you just a couple of clips here, but I have the Kirk Gibson home run, which is just, if you're my age, again, Dad Vibe Wednesday, if you're my age, I just think this is right in your wheelhouse, and I'm 47. This is right in your wheelhouse as just an incredible sports memory. It's one where I can remember where I was. And Vin Scully was on the call on the Kirk Gibson hobble home run.
And look who's coming up. And all year long, he answered the demands until he was physically unable to start tonight with two bad legs, the bad left hamstring and the swollen right knee. Trying to catch lightning right now. 3-2 at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
Then the layout. Classic there. Simple. That was great. Classic Vin Scully, because it's just so simple.
Yep.
And he's very understated.
Some of the best all do the layout.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of broadcasters who don't, and they try to interject little things here and there.
Or they have a color guy that steps all over.
Right. Or the call starts and the color guy starts going, oh, like,
yeah.
Shut up, man.
He let the crowd noise and the atmosphere, you know, do the talking after he, you know, the call. It's just vintage Scully. Now, the story is a good one of his first job. You know, he called, Vin Scully called Dodger games for 67 years. I mean, it's really remarkable. He never had a color guy, which is also remarkable. But his first job, he was in the Navy. And then he went to journalism school, broadcasting school at Fordham. I think he was an English major or something, but he helped found the radio station there. He always knew he wanted to do broadcasting. And so the sports director of CBS Sports at the time, Red Barber, heard one of his broadcasts for the Fordham games. He did baseball, football, and basketball.
I believe they are the Fordham Knights.
I think they're the Rams.
Oh.
Fake news once again from Mike Lynch today.
They were very close to where I grew up, so I'm an idiot.
He recruited Scully for college football, and in 1949, he had him do a Maryland versus Boston University game, and they were at Fenway Park, and it was ice cold, and they made him broadcast from the roof of the stadium. And when Scully got to the stadium,
why?
Well, that's I actually don't know why.
From the roof of the stadium.
Yeah, they're like, you're up here. And I guess
I'm picturing one sole chair on top of the roof.
Yeah, he didn't have a coat and gloves. He left them at his hotel because he thought he was going to a press box. And the story goes, he never mentioned one thing about his discomfort on the air. And Barber, Red Barber, as the story goes, ultimately became Scully's mentor. And Scully, you know, he was always very impartial. He was not a homer broadcaster, which I always loved about him. And that was the advice that was given to him by Red Barber. So shortly thereafter, I mean, that was 1949. 1950, he's on Brooklyn Dodger games. I mean, he was just, I heard Daddy say this on their show, that he never changed. Like, it is really remarkable that in 1949, 1950, Vin Scully was just Vin Scully, and he just was the same for basically 70 years.
Right? I also find it phenomenal that he was given a major league broadcasting play-by-play job 1 year after his first time calling play-by-play for football in college.
Yeah, well, he was cheap.
But
Red Barber said he...
Just the idea that in that era, you could just do a good job once, and they're like, hey, have a major league job.
Well, he was the youngest to ever broadcast a World Series, because Barber did hire him. Barber saw something in him. Barber was... I mean, it was... You'd have to think, and I'm sure Red Barber should get a lot of credit, but you have to think that... Even hearing Vin Scully as a 20-something in 1949, it wouldn't take a Red Barber brain to go, oh, my God, that is incredible. I'm going to give that guy a job, right? Like, that's how good Vin Scully was,
sure,
apparently. So he was just cheap. He got in a Barber got in a contract dispute with who was on the Brooklyn broadcast. I don't remember who it was. And he just was like, Vin, you're the guy. And he was there ever since. It's really amazing. Here is a little taste of, oh yeah, okay. So Vin never had a color guy, so he had to fill a lot of time with stories. And here is just a great clip of how he did that.
You know, Bumgarner tells a story which, in a sense, reminds you of what it takes to be a big league ball player. It's 2 years ago in spring training, and he and his wife were roping cattle, which is what they do. 1-1 pitch. Sinker low, ball two, 2-1. And they were startled by a large snake. And Madison thought it was a rattlesnake, so he grabbed an axe and he hacked the snake to pieces. But there's something more to the story. 2-1 pitch. Low, ball three, 3-1. When his wife Allie and an expert field dresser examined what was left of the snake, she found two baby jackrabbits inside pieces of the snake and extracted them. 3-1 pitch to Turner, way inside, ball four. And after she extracted them a short while later, the Bumgarners noticed that one of the rabbits had moved slightly. It was alive. Well, his wife brought the rabbit back to their apartment. For the next few days, they kept it warm, bottle nursed it, and the rabbit soon was healthy enough that they released it into the wild. Mm. And Madison said, just think about how tough that rabbit was. First it gets eaten by a snake, then the snake gets chopped to pieces, then it gets picked up by people and lives. It's all true. Meanwhile, line drive base hit to center by Hendrick, and the Dodgers are in business, first and second and nobody out. So I guess really the morale to the whole story about the rabbit and the snake, you've got to somehow survive. You've got to somehow battle back. A lesson well taught for all of us.
I love it's got a little bit of, and there's a deep drive to left field by Castellanos to it, you know.
Yep.
Like, I didn't like the baseball.
And the Dodgers are set up here anyway.
I didn't like the baseball interrupting the story.
True story.
But that was him, man. He was so great. And finally.
I wonder what made him decide when to interject these stories.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because Bumgarner was pitching, which is why he was telling the story in the clip. It was like 2-1 Dodgers in the third. And he chose then to tell the Bumgarner snake rabbit story.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it only really took one at bat.
He probably had, be interesting to, I'm sure, you know, old interviews he's talked about this, but he probably had so many stories like that holstered ready for, because it's a lot of downtime in baseball, you know, which is why he was great. And finally,
I wonder how often he would retell stories.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the regular Dodger fan would probably be able to tell us, the those who have watched a lot of Vin games. Was he a story repeater? Or did he have so many stories that you really didn't hear much of the same stuff?
We all know that guy, story repeater guy. Boy.
I'd say that's probably all three of us in some way.
He can be a lot. So here is Vin Scully's sign-off. I mean, what year was this? He signed off, God, it's been 5 years now, 6 years now. He signed off in
2016, I believe.
Oh, God, 2016, okay. This was how it ended. This was at San Francisco on October 2nd.
This is not the final call, by the way.
Well, that's what I wanted, the final call.
Well, the clip you sent me was this.
Oh, damn.
And we also have the final call, which I'll get for
you. Oh, good. Yeah, I want to play the final call. Okay, check this out.
On this day, October the 2nd, 1936, a little redheaded kid was walking home from school, went by a Chinese laundry, and I'll tell you the rest of the story, but let's get back to the game. Yeah, the little kid, not quite 9, 8 3/4, leaving grammar school on his way home, and I went by a Chinese laundry. That's way outside, 2 balls and no strikes. And the line score of a baseball game was pasted on the window. And it showed Game 2 of the World Series with the Yankees beating the Giants 18-4 as Turner fouls the ball back. There it was, Game 2. Imagine a reserve seat cost $5. Well, anyway, as that little redheaded kid looked and saw, oh, wow, the poor Giants. That was my reaction. And so I became not only a Giants fan, but a big fan of baseball. And I was able to exercise my instinct. The pitch to Turner is away, 2-1. Because my school was less than 20 blocks to the old Polo Grounds where the New York Giants played. And because I was a member of the Police Athletic League, Catholic Youth Organization, I could game free from Monday to Friday. We got out of school at 2:30. The John games were 3:15. And so I could go to the ball game. And so I just fell in love with baseball. Most of the time, I was in center field. Now, center field in the Polo Grounds was 483 feet away as Turner strikes out, one down. So I would sit in the bleachers and I would cheer and I would watch and I just loved the Giants. Well, the point of the whole story is this. My first love was October the 2nd, 1936. Second game of the World Series. Today is October the 2nd, 2016. A lot of time has gone by. Exactly 80 years to the minute from that day.
That is incredible. And listen to how good he sounds, too. He's 88, 87 at that point?
88, yeah.
Because he died at 94.
That's 6 years ago, so yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. So let's listen to his sign-off on that day, October 2nd, 2016.
You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now, all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life seems, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song, and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, oh, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
Yes. Greatness. Vin Scully.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. All right. In the News is next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You know, I was thinking about it. Vin was talking about being in broadcasting for 80 years. If you would like some context for that, realize that Suk and I started this show together in 2005. So if we lasted as long as Vin, I would retire in 2085.
Wow.
I would be 110 years old.
Oh boy.
Could you imagine 110-year-old me on here still talking sports?
Boy, you'd have a lot of grandpa vibes shows at that point.
Probably be pretty good, huh?
Yeah, probably.
Suk would only be 106?
7?
He's like, yeah, I don't know. That's just, I mean,
we know Suk's probably not living till 108.
It's insane. Just insane. Hell, I got my eye on 50 for retirement, much less 110. Crap. All right, it's August 3rd, 2022. Time for In the News. I'm Benota Newsman. Hello. Thank you. Please be seated. Carbon neutral still. Today is Grab Some Nuts Day. Have you grabbed your nuts yet today?
Probably.
Any nuts? I certainly have.
Where's the drop thing?
I'm going to love my nuts.
Oh, yeah. I'm a nut grabber. You do that? My wife hates it, but I do grab my nuts. I adjust a lot.
I feel like every male is that.
Yeah. I'm just not subtle about it.
Yeah. You're at home. Why do you need to be subtle?
Today is Grab Some Nuts Day. Okay. So grab some nuts, guys.
Done.
Or gals. It is also National Watermelon Day. I love watermelon.
I'm okay with watermelon.
What? I think watermelon is one of the most underrated foods.
I think watermelon is one of the most overrated fruits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
It's...
What is your problem? Who wronged you?
I've had a lot of bad watermelon.
Really?
Because I feel like watermelon has a sweet spot that is a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
And then it passes that point and it just tastes bad.
See,
it's like so watery that it's only water and seed and you don't really get a lot of watermelon flavor. It can be really good, but I think it's really, really hard to get it.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of the more underrated foods along with Brussels sprouts.
I can get behind some good Brussels sprouts as long as they're coated in delicious things.
So underrated.
By themselves, no thanks.
Should this man be evicted? That is the question some are asking. And this is happening right down here by us. We are now in what is called South Portland, no longer Southwest Portland. We are down here on the banks of the poop-filled Willamette River.
Not for long.
In South Portland, yes. I guess, so we are moving studios. When that will be, we have no idea. But the rest of the, this is going to be great. The rest of the office, our office here, is getting kicked out on Friday.
Oh.
Yes, they're really? All leaving. Yes. And the only people that will be in here for an amount of time are the radio shows. So we're going back to like the COVID days.
Oh, okay.
And that's great.
I mean, the building's been pretty empty anyway when we get here, but...
It is, but, you see people and you got to say hi. It's like,
Well, you don't have to.
Yeah. Well, then you're viewed as an a-hole and, I guess it's too late for that. Anyway, they're leaving on Friday. Where are we going? Northwest Portland. But when? I have no idea. We might have to squat here for a while, to be honest. They're building out new studios for us. Going to be very fancy, but this
I think the answer is going to be temporary studios at the new building somewhere.
Oh, temps, yes.
Yeah, where we have everything.
Listen,
virtual.
If I know Odyssey, they will be temporary and turn into permanent. We will have permanent temporary studios.
Boy, if that's the case, that's going to be really disappointing because I think they're throwing us in some conference rooms or something.
Exactly. That's exactly what I pictured. Should this man here in South Portland,
an Odyssey station,
should he be evicted? So he lives in one of these high rises down here. You guys have seen those right there on the south waterfront. And he has been dropping explosives from his apartment complex down onto the esplanade below. M80s. Apparently,
what?
Yes. And he's been doing this since the 4th of July. And the people can't get him.
What?
They can't seem to get the building to do anything about this guy. And now they've taken to the news. And the news is reporting that this guy continues to throw fireworks off of his balcony down to the esplanade below where people are walking.
Is he aiming for people?
No, they said that... nobody's been hurt. He just He just throws explosives down there. And they want him evicted. There is some damage left behind. Splatters of, you know, some firework matter. That's about the best they can do. That's on the building of the neighbors. But, yeah.
They should said, he be evicted?
Yeah, should he be evicted for that? Now, that's what they want. They said it's very scary and loud, but nobody has been hurt. One resident said they heard the boom from blocks away.
Oh, no.
Another resident said it shook their windows 22 stories up. Now, he is on the 11th floor.
Okay.
And 22 stories up there.
And the high rises down here are very tall, and they're very close together.
This one is tall, yes.
Yeah. Should he be evicted? I don't know. I mean, should he get in trouble for that? Yes.
Well, M80s are illegal.
I don't know if he should lose the apartment for it, but he should certainly lose something.
I mean, this is kind of what I thought. When I saw this, I'm like, look, that sucks. Because, you know, if he does it, like, in the middle of the night,
yeah,
just wakes people up. It's just annoying.
He's doing it to be annoying.
Sure. But he's not hurting anyone. It's like, you know, should he lose his apartment? I don't know.
No, I don't think he should be evicted. I guess I need to hear. He should certainly get in trouble.
I want to hear from him. Well, what do you do? What do you mean get in trouble? He's not going to get arrested.
Maybe there's fines for, you know, public noise after a certain hour or something, and hit him with those.
Well, there is a guy by the name of Matt.
Or he'll run out of MAUs.
Matt lives in the... Well, that's true. Matt lives in the Ardia, which is another building, and he has completely changed his dog walking route to avoid the pathway beneath the unit of concern.
This is... God.
Yeah.
In a time where there are so many really important problems that people are trying to fix and that everyone's really angry about, this is what you're going to the news for to try to get this dude evicted, is throwing fireworks off of his balcony?
Well, I can see why they're pissed.
I would also be frustrated. I just, there's something about that when you put it up against everything else that just makes me shake my head. SMH, Isaac, SMH.
SMH, I know what that means. And I'm a dad.
What does it mean?
Shaking my head.
I just said it.
Statute 90.396, Oregon law. There are multiple reasons a landlord can evict someone on 24 hours notice. The law says someone can be kicked out in one day if what they're doing threatens or actually inflicts substantial personal injury to someone. It also says if the tenant recklessly endangers someone, creating a serious risk of substantial personal injury, they too can get kicked out nearly immediately.
Well, then I guess that this guy could be evicted for that, because even if he's not aiming for people, he could accidentally hit somebody with a firework.
That's
and then
right.
That would be severe damage, yes.
That's right. So maybe he should be evicted.
Yeah.
Did you see this story? This is a terrifying story. It is a story of a pilot who jumped out of a plane.
Oh,
Did you read this?
I feel like I saw a blurb about this, and... Is this the story where it was a smaller plane and airport,
yes,
and the second guy just bailed?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did see the blurb on this.
A 911 call made by air traffic controller said a young co-pilot jumped to his death after exiting his plane during a mid-flight emergency last week. 23-year-old Charles Crooks was found dead in a backyard.
Oh, my God.
Last weekend, after plunging from the skies over Raleigh, North Carolina. The aviator did not have a parachute when he exited the whatever this
the plane,
the C-9-2. Well, they got all the, you know, the, it's SMH plane. I don't know. The plane, whatever they call it.
Shaking my head.
Which went on to make an emergency landing at Raleigh-Durham International Airport.
First thought.
His co-pilot jumped out of the aircraft.
First thought. Being the homeowner that found or maybe even witnessed the death of this man,
I bet that was loud.
I can't even imagine how horrifying that would be and how traumatizing that would be.
Yeah.
And my second thought.
Do you even think that it comes out of the air, like that's from an airplane? Like, what is this dead guy doing?
Well, if you were there and maybe saw it, then obviously you would know it was from the sky, and then you'd be more concerned that like aliens were attacking or something and they brought a guy up and then dropped him back to the ground. But on the other side, they were having an emergency in the air And instead of figuring it out with his co-pilot, he just bails? Like, was he bailing because he thought the plane crash was going to happen and maybe he would survive by jumping? Or was he suicidal?
Well, we requested an interview with him, but it turns out he's dead.
Well, I was wondering if his co-pilot had any sort of... Like, did the guy say, like, we're not going to make this. See you later?
Nope.
Or did he literally just silently jump out of the plane?
He said, all this says is his co-pilot jumped out without the parachute, so he might have impact to the ground. The air traffic controller also tells the dispatcher, this is the craziest thing I've ever dealt with. We have a pilot that was inbound to the field. His co-pilot jumped out of the aircraft. Yeah, it doesn't say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Those are my first two initial thoughts were... Being the people who own the house where the backyard was, and why? Why leave the plane?
Well, he's committing suicide, is what he has done. But that's a terrifying tale.
Right, but was it intentional or not?
Yeah, well, of course. He jumped out on purpose. Guy wanted to kill himself. But that is not good. Now, do you think there's a lawsuit there from the homeowner? You know?
What's the lawsuit?
I don't know. Hey, dead guy.
That's what you're suing over?
I'm going to sue the
FAA over, yes. Hey, dead guy.
Sue the feds.
Joe Biden. There's a dead guy in my backyard.
I didn't ask for this.
It came out of one of the planes in the sky. You guys deal with that, right?
I got to say, our text line overwhelmingly in favor of evicting our M80, bro.
Yeah, well, once you described what could lead to an eviction, I changed my mind. I was like, oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that's what's in the laws, then yeah, okay. Then what he's doing is definitely eviction worthy.
All right.
I'm open to changing my opinion. My initial thought was, he's pulling a prank. And okay, well, if it's happening that often, then maybe.
Yeah, you guys have convinced me. I agree. At first I saw this and was like, what a douche, but let's just beat him up or something. But I get it.
Just throw him out of an airplane or something.
Yeah, throw him off his balcony. See how he likes that.
11 stories, he'll survive.
What else do I have for you here? Hey, public access to Oswego Lake. That case has taken a turn. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, wrapping up in the news. Beautiful day out there. Although I'm hearing that the heat is returning this weekend. I'm not happy about that. I don't like golfing in the heat. But I guess I got to do what I got to do.
Are we getting back to like 100 again?
Sunday, they're saying 96.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty hot, man.
That is hot.
Pretty hot, man. But I got my new dad hat, my new old man bucket hat that I wear out there. Keeps me cool.
My app says Sunday 103.
Are you serious?
I am serious, Clark.
God.
We've got 78 tomorrow, 86 Friday.
Whoa.
95 Saturday, 103 Sunday, 95 Monday. And then back to the 80s.
Wow, 78 to 100 and what'd you say? 103
in 4 days.
Damn it! Well, we've got a twist in the. So we've been telling you about the case that's been dragging on for a while of if the public can use Oswego Lake. All the Richies are keeping it to themselves, but we have a new twist in that case. The long-running legal battle over public access to Oswego Lake has hit another patch of choppy water as local officials won their bid to boot a judge off the case after raising fears that she could not be impartial. Instead of launching the crucial second phase of the trial, Clackamas County Circuit Judge Ann Leninger was removed from the case after lawyers for the defendants found that she had communicated with the plaintiffs while serving as a state lawmaker 8 years ago.
Is this all anyone is talking about in Lake Oswego right now? Like, I just have this picture in my head at all of the little places that are filled up with locals. Everyone's just talking about this.
I don't know. That's not my vibe, but I would imagine it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. Well, I feel like in towns like this, when stuff like this happens, it's the buzz.
Yeah. Definitely the buzz.
I don't know. I feel like when you guys first brought it up, I didn't really settle on an answer of what I think. It is a lake in a town that should probably be accessed by the public, but a majority of the lake butts up right to the backyards of all the Richies, so I guess they could say it should stay private. I'm pretty much split down the middle. I'm pretty torn.
Well, Richie's get what they want, as you well know. So I'm rooting for the public here. Plus, it doesn't affect me.
No. I've never been on that lake, so.
It's beautiful. Multnomah County Circuit Court Judge Tom Ryan said Leninger hadn't violated judicial rules of contact, but he still disqualified her nonetheless during a hearing. The decision comes 3 months after she issued a favorable ruling to the plaintiffs, declaring that the waters of Oswego Lake belong to the state and are therefore subject to public access provisions. See how this is working?
Yep.
It's like the NFL.
Oh, wait a minute.
We don't like her.
We're going to appeal, and then we are going to be the controller of who the judge is.
See, this is why I root for the public here, because you know there's some nefarious stuff going on, trying to get what they want down there in Lake O.
Well, keep what they have.
Yeah. It is a very nice lake, though. It's like a utopia back in there. The water.
Have you gone to like one of those little block parties they've done where everyone goes out there?
Yeah, I've told the story before where a friend of mine's wife shoved a Portland Timber into the water and pissed him off. Almost got in a fight. That was at that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oswego, Lake Oswego, like Hot August Nights or something.
Oh, that's right. That is what it's called. Yeah.
Yeah, they all put their boats together and party.
Seems pretty great if you live there.
Not a minority in the house.
That's not so great. But, you know, it is Lake Oswego.
There's your In the News. August 3, 2022. Eat that watermelon because it is National Watermelon Day. And Mike hates watermelon. And I think that that's bullsh. I find it to be one of the most underrated foods. And by the way, I'm getting a lot of hate about the Brussels sprouts commentary. I love Brussels sprouts. I think they're very underrated. A lot of people they're not seeing me eye to eye there.
When done well, Brussels sprouts are delicious.
What is your most underrated food? Underrated food. Like a food that's like, man, why do more people not like this?
You got to give me some time to think about that. Give me the break. I'll think about it. I don't have it off the top of my head.
All right. Suk would have thought about that by now, and he would have like a top five list holster.
Yeah, well, I'm not Suk, so
he'd be waiting for that question. He's been waiting all his life for that question. So we'll get to the Hot 5 at 5 coming up next. What do we have today? It's Media Day at Oregon football. Live players have filed a lawsuit. We'll tell you about that and the latest in the Deshaun Watson suspension. Next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.